apparently there's a two-argument requirement.
Well, I bet the high school.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Right.
They don't think your argument's going to be interesting.
Thank you for coming.
Reserve just 1 minute. Better 2 minutes. I'm sure we'll go after that, and I'll have 1 minute left anyway.
Oh, good, there's new ones coming.
I believe we are now ready for our fourth and final argument of the day in Lamprecht versus Schlunz. Thanks. Counsel, you may proceed.
My name is Tony Brock. I represent my friend Art Lamprecht and his wife Linda. We're here asking you to reverse the trial court's order and send this matter back for a jury trial. The order was an order sustaining a motion for summary judgment. In this case, it involved a very extremely hot, very windy day in a wheat field. The defendants, the appellees, were in exclusive control of everything that was happening in that wheat field that day. I noticed in their brief they tried to add or make an issue of that by saying that wind, heat, and sun were also in control, but I don't think that's legally sufficient. Whatever was going on in that wheat field that day was under exclusive control of the defendant appellees. For all the lawyers here and law students, if they're still here, one of the first cases we learn from in res ipsa loquitur is the case of Byrne versus Bodle.
And before you get into that case, for the benefit of the students who perhaps don't know Latin, which I'm guessing is the majority, could you explain what res ipsa loquitur theory is in brief?
I don't speak Latin either, but what it means is the thing speaks for itself. It is a theory of law in which, as a plaintiff, we cannot point to any specific act of negligence. But it is a procedural, not a substantive, rule of law, which allows us to proceed with the case and have an inference of negligence that the jury can either accept or reject. In Byrne versus Bodle, of course, we have a pedestrian that's walking along the sidewalk and a barrel comes out of a warehouse striking him. And the court noted that there was no evidence of negligence, but that normally in the ordinary course of things, barrels don't come flying out of warehouses injuring people, and so there must have been negligence somewhere. The trial judge in that case made exactly the same mistake as the trial judge in our case. I think they looked at the fact that we can't prove or that there's evidence of a specific act of negligence, and just because the defendants say they weren't negligent, well, plaintiff, you must lose. And obviously that's wrong. That's the purpose of the res ipsa doctrine. It's very similar. In Nebraska, when we harvest wheat, in the ordinary course of things, farmers don't start fires unless they're negligent, and those fires don't cross out or go out of the farmer's property and burn down their neighbor's property.
Isn't the law in Nebraska now, it's not ever been stated as specifically to a wheat field fire, but isn't the law in Nebraska that the mere occurrence of a fire with resultant damage does not raise a presumption of negligence?
Isn't that true.
The general rule?
Generally, okay. That's true.
So you're asking under a res ipsa loquitur theory for there to be an inference of negligence that because a fire started in this wheat field, there was negligence, right?
That's that goes a long way, but that's not all of it.
But it's a, aren't you asking really for a double inference? One, that the fire started in the field because of something the defendants did, and two, in this case, they had a truck out in the field, right? They were harvesting.
Right.
So that the one, an inference that the truck started the fire in the field, right, or the tractor started the fire in the field, and then two, another inference that there must have been some negligence in maintaining that tractor or it would not have started the fire. So it's a double inference, isn't it?
I think you go too far.
Okay, tell me how.
I think you assume some inferences that we're not making. I don't know whether it was a tractor and the grain buggy that started the fire or the combine. It's interesting because Joppa testified that he spent 15 or 10 to 20 minutes, I believe, trying to put out the fire in the header of the combine. That makes no sense if we allege that the tractor started the fire with the burnt wire. It also makes no sense if we say the burnt wire started the fire because the tractor didn't burn up and there really wasn't any damage to the tractor. It also doesn't make sense because Joppa testified he saw the fire explode when he looked out his back window of the tractor that he was driving. So those things, I don't want to make that inference that it was a tractor and the wagon that started the fire because I don't know that that's true. It might have been, for those of us who know what combines are and how these guys unload, the door to the combine is to the left. Mr. Schlunz was smoking. It was his cab was full of cigarettes. He could have opened it up and tossed out a butt. I don't know that. But that's why an inference is allowed. I think if we go too far with that inference that I'm inferring that, or I think that maintenance of that tractor was negligent, I can't go there because, number one, I can't prove it. Number two, I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's what I'm trying to do here.
So that you initially brought this action under two theories, right, negligence and also then res ipsa, and then you abandoned the negligence. And for the sake of the audience, can you describe, you know, the elements of establishing negligence and then why that was abandoned here?
Well,
because of this proof issue, right?
That's right. We can't prove what it was that Mr. Schlunz and his brother did that was unreasonable or failed to do that would a reasonable person would have done under the same or similar circumstances.
But under a typical situation where you believe somebody did something wrong and that caused the damage, you would have to prove that they caused that damage, right? So under res ipsa, you get to not have to prove that.
You get the inference. That's what res ipsa
does. Yeah. And what is it that we're inferring in this case? Simply that because they were all out in the field at the time the fire started, there had to be negligence?
There had to be negligence somewhere there, Judge, because the fire didn't start over here in the back 40 of this field. It started under their tractor.
Could it have been started
or in that neighborhood? I'm sorry.
Could it have been started by the heat from the vehicle, which perhaps wasn't a negligent act? It was just the circumstances of the day, a hot vehicle, hot day, and a dry field.
That goes too far. If you look at Cook versus the Cook case cited in my brief, Cook versus Norris Public Power, in that case, the public power company said, you know, it could have been vandals, could have been a hunter that shot down our power line. If you look at the Supreme Court cases and Cook, Norris Public Power, McLaughlin, and cases cited, that were decided by this very court, you know that those possibilities are not enough to satisfy the explanation element of the doctrine.
What about our security or the Supreme Court's decision in Security Insurance versus Omaha Coca-Cola where the vending machine started on fire and nobody was there to see how it started, but it was on fire and the court said no res ipsa there?
That's true, and that's a troubling case, but I think it was a matter of the proof there and a matter of the allegations in that case. I think that's what sets it apart from the case at bar.
Is it a problem here where you really don't know the instrumentality which caused the fire?
Yes.
So doesn't that go to the second prong then of what your burden of proof is on a res ipsa case, that you have to show that the instrumentality which produced the occurrence must be under the exclusive control and management of the wrongdoer?
And we did that.
Well, if you don't know if it was a cigarette butt or a tractor or anything else, how do you know How do you know it just wasn't a spontaneous combustion of some kind?
Well, first of all, Joppa said it wasn't. Secondly, there's no evidence supporting anything else that anybody else did that caused that fire. They had exclusive control. There was nobody else involved there. I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal, if that's acceptable.
Very well.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Krista Carlson, and I represent the defendants, the appellees, in this matter. And Judge Bishop, you understand the issue so well, I almost feel like I could sit down and be quiet. But first of all, Joppa did not say it wasn't spontaneous combustion. If you look at his testimony, he says, well, I don't know. Well, it could have been. I've seen spontaneous combustion occur before. I'm not hanging my hat on the spontaneous combustion theory. It could have been. I don't know. Let's go back to the beginning. We've got two brothers harvesting wheat in a field on a hot, windy day. The reason they were in the field on a hot, windy day was because the wheat was ripe. When the wheat's ready, you get it out of the field before it rains. You don't want wheat, just like any other grain, you don't want it to get wet because then it can mold and you have to have additional costs drying it, etc. When wheat's ready, you harvest it. That's normal. What happened? Chris Joppa is driving that tractor alongside the combine with that cart on behind on the roll so that they can collect the grain as it's coming down. And Brent Schlunz in the combine sees fire underneath the tractor and motions, go, 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 get out of here, get over onto the road. He does that. And then, and by the way, there's no evidence that he was smoking. He doesn't say he was smoking at the time. He did smoke, but there is no evidence and no allegations, mind you, that there was negligence in him smoking. So that's unfair and uncalled for to throw that in here like that. Any case, he picks up that fire with his combine. He scoops it up with that header and goes back out to the road with it, and that's how it gets in the header, not that it starts in the combine. It's in the header. That's what his testimony reflects, is that he scooped it up, gets it out there. They take the fire extinguisher off the combine, and they go and they put that fire out. It takes them 15 or 20 minutes. That's what they're doing. And then Brent Schlunz runs and gets the tractor to go and make a fire break to get that, the crops down so that it won't spread. And by the way, even before he's out of the field, he calls 911, asks for help. So, oh, and yes, let's talk about the maintenance issue, because one of the assignments of error is that there was an error in finding that the equipment was properly maintained. The only evidence in this case is that the tractor was properly maintained. There's allegations it wasn't, but there was no evidence that it was not properly maintained. We have Exhibit 12 to Brent Schlunz's deposition are the maintenance records. They're there in evidence. Chris Joppa was an employee of the Schlunz brothers. He goes out there every morning, well, every morning they're working, and he maintains that equipment. He was taught how to maintain that equipment by Dave Harbor. Dave Harbor is a mechanic. Dave Harbor also works for the Schlunz brothers. He taught Mr. Joppa how to do that. They've maintained that. There's no evidence that what they did was improper, that it wasn't right. So they maintained that equipment. The fire starts in the field. Yes, it does. It probably starts into the tractor. I assume, without admitting, but, you know, the logical inference is that it's starting under the tractor, so it must have some connection to the tractor. Probably that second element of res ipsa is met as far as the instrumentality being under our control, unless it was spontaneous combustion, but, again, we really don't know. It's the first and third elements that are so problematic here. As you were questioning about, this cannot be the kind of thing that does not occur in the absence of negligence. And here we've got a real problem with that. Listen to Joe Cresser's testimony. Joe Cresser was the fire investigator that went to the scene.
And was he the only expert witness that was called by either side?
Well, the only one who's, yes, we hadn't identified an expert. And he was called out there by plaintiffs, but they hadn't actually, and I apologize, in the briefing, I referred to him as plaintiff's expert because they had called him out there, but they've denied that. I don't know if you want to go as far as to call him plaintiff's expert, but in any case, he's the only one that investigated, did anything that had ever been called as an expert in the case.
And no expert was hired to examine the equipment or determine whether or not there was any defective condition to any of the machinery or anything?
No, except for this fire investigator. And he says, we talked about the fire, and I asked if he had an idea of what started it, because, and I'm referring to he's Brent Schlunz here, and I asked if he had an idea of what started it, because at times it can be a bearing, you know, go out or get hot or something of that sort, and somebody can drive in a field, an exhaust pipe can start it. And at that time, he said they thought that it was an electrical short or the four-wheel drive case tractor, and that's basically all I can recall. These are all ways a fire can start in a wheat field in the absence of negligence. And that goes to the third element, too. We have to, we, the defendant, have to put forward a theory of something not negligent that caused it. This is it. It's there in the fire report in Exhibit, I believe it's 10, to the deposition. There's the fire report saying this is what caused the fire, most likely is an electrical short with the tractor. Those two, all those elements have to be met in order for him to use res ipsa as the theory to survive the fact that no specific negligence can be met. And two out of the three are definitely missing. The second one isn't as strong in our favor. If it was the tractor that started, okay, it was within our control. But the first and third one are clearly not met. When we moved for summary judgment initially, he had alleged both, and plaintiffs had alleged, at both negligence and res ipsa. And so my initial brief was showing how we were not negligent. I just set it out, didn't prove this, didn't prove this, didn't prove this. And I said, and plus, under Nebraska law, you can't have both. You can't have negligence and res ipsa, because once you allege specific acts of negligence, you're not allowed to allege res ipsa. So he amended that complaint in the process and basically said, we're not moving forward on negligence. We're done with our negligence claim. We're just going to move forward on res ipsa. The second amended complaint still has an allegation in there related to negligent maintenance, and one of his issues relates to negligent maintenance. And if he wants to persist with that theory, then the res ipsa claim shouldn't go forward at all. But, in the absence of that, he just hasn't met the elements of res ipsa, and that should be affirmed for that reason. It's really that simple.
Is he claim precluded now from bringing a negligence action?
Well, he's already admitted that he can't prove it, so whether it's claim preclusion or not, I don't think it would survive at this mm-hmm. point.
Would you agree the earlier statement that I made that in essence in this case what's being argued is that there's a presumption that something in the control of the defendants caused the fire, and then another presumption or inference that that instrument that was in their control was not properly maintained, in this case the tractor? It's kind of a double inference, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Are you negligent if you get a flat tire? Are you negligent because there was a nail in your tire that you didn't see? No. You maintain it, but it's not strict liability for how your equipment functions and operates. Clearly, that tractor was functioning on the way to the field. It was still operating. They had no idea there was any problem because they took it out into the field. They used it. They were still using it. It still got out of the field back there. You can't hold them negligent just because something went wrong, and that's the deal. All over that, and in that affidavit that was not admitted, there had to be negligence because fires don't start if there's not something wrong. Well, okay, the something wrong doesn't have to be negligence. The something wrong can be an electrical short without there being negligence. The something wrong can be a nail in your tire without you negligently putting it there. The something wrong could be light hitting the mirror of the tractor and reflecting down to heat up that already hot corn. Something wrong can be that, which is actually probable, possible what happened in this case. You understand how the differential on the tractor works, that there's a shaft that spins here, and then there's the tires that are rotating here, and there's a differential box that takes this twisty movement and turns it into this twisty movement. Well, that's hot, because there's a lot of friction going on there. There's a lot of movement in there. Well, the corn, you're harvesting those wheat heads off, but there's still those stalks standing, and there's a lot of debris, very flammable debris in there. If that connects with hot equipment that's hot because of friction, it can cause a fire. It doesn't mean it's negligence. You have to do what you have to do to get the wheat out of the field when you're a farmer. That's your job. And it's not negligent to be there in the field in the first place. That's just a possibility that can happen. And is it something wrong that it's hot and that it caught on fire? Okay, but is that negligence? No. And that's why the fact that a fire occurs isn't negligence in Nebraska. Fires happen all the time in many different ways, but that doesn't mean someone's negligent, hasn't it? Any further questions?
No, I just want to say I think I was driving tractors before you were born.
Probably. I was driving a tractor when I was 3 years old, but probably not that long ago, so.
Your knowledge is impressive.
Thank you. How much time does appellant have remaining?
Page 34, 35 of Joppa's deposition, he asked a question, or he answered the question three different ways. The first time about the spontaneous combustion, he said it didn't happen that day. He knew that it didn't happen that day. The second time, he said, well, it could have. Third time, he said, don't think it would have. Then I asked him if fires, I said, would you agree with me that fires don't start in wheat fields unless something's wrong? And he agreed with that.
If something's wrong, you didn't ask him without negligence, right?
Well, I don't know what's going to be wrong unless you're negligent. If you're right. And
well, Ms. Carlson just gave us a lot of examples.
Well, let's say you get a tire in your, a flat tire or something in your nail in your tire. That may not be negligent getting the nail in your tire, but if you have the nail in your tire, like you got a fire going on your wheat field, and instead you drive out into traffic and run into somebody, then that's a problem. That's wrong. And here, fires just don't, I mean, every day in Nebraska, people harvest wheat and they don't start fires to burn down their neighbor's property. And here, I think it's wrong to get hooked up on too much. The whole case doesn't turn on what started this fire. The case turns on how did my client's property get consumed by fire that was started wherever it was in somebody else's field.
It's a terrible thing for sure, but to infer negligence and to create such a standard for a wheat field fire given these kinds of facts could create a pretty heavy burden for farmers.
What about controlling the fire once you start it?
Isn't that a separate issue?
Well, I think it goes to res ipsa, Judge. I don't know that that's what caused the damage to my neighbor's or my client's property, but sure could be.
You make good arguments, Mr. Brock. Thank you.
Thank you both. I appreciate you being here. You are excused, and your case is submitted. And with that, we are concluded. However, we will stay for questions and answers. So if anybody needs to leave, feel free to do so. But we hope most of you remain and talk with us for a few minutes.
Oh, sure. Okay.